me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car.
Can you hear me, Daddy-O? I'm good, man. I'm good.
Hit me with your car.
I won't let the man keep me down. Yeah.
Hit me with your car.
Allergies are bad here.
And drive away.
Yeah. I went a little overboard yesterday. So
hit me with your car.
I went to Chewy's.
Go on and hit me with your car.
You know, all things considered, it wasn't very chewy.
It's
chewy like a Mexican. Not like chewy like chew my food.
Hit me with your car.
I didn't realize that was a double entendre. Because you chew your food.
Well, but Chewy chews his food.
Was there
how much food?
Chewy? Is there a
Chewy
guy?
Chew. Yeah, it's the short name for Jesus.
Chewy is short for Jesus.
Creo que sí.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Says the passably Mexican guy.
And Dick is short for Richard.
Precisely. P nicely.
What's the worst one?
Chuck?
Charles? No, I mean, that's normal.
Chip for Charles? I don't like that one.
Chip, that's a fucked up name.
Chip is the name for like a Charles III or a Charles IV, like a guy who, you know, is inherited like blood money from the 17th or 18th century.
My name is Chip LinkedIn. Oh, gooners. We're just taking it one day at a time here at the Podcast Factory.
Yeah, I got my hard hat on and I got my microphone set up and we're back for another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about our traffic fatality. What have we landed on?
It's Are You Into Bus Stuff? It's the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic.
Excellent.
It's the only comedy podcast about America's roadway fatality crisis.
It's the only Goon Fuel podcast by two deeply sad individuals.
Over the moon. Mission to Goon. Mission Goon possible.
Gooner Army, we will overcome, but we will never come.
Overcome. I was thinking that exact thing the other day. I was like, we will overcome. May we never come. May we overcome. Gooner Army. I was really... Did I text that to you? Is that why you said it?
Yeah, you texted it to me.
But it's good, right? It's like...
May we never come so that we may overcome.
Gooner Army. We will overcome. But we will never come. I don't know. I don't know the structure.
Yeah, I don't know the exact context.
Well, no, the exact context is we're all standing hand in hand in the street in a line, chanting.
In a line, holding back the empire from proliferating its endless violence.
We will overcome. May we never
come. We will never come.
We will overcome. We will never come. We will overcome. We will never come. And then slowly... we begin to rise from the streets.
Ascend.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you step into the street, you can ascend into the higher plane as well. Anybody can.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good way to die. Good way to die and ascend into the astral plane.
Oh, man. No, I mean, I don't have a single note for today's pod. There's no traffic deaths news. There's no new traffic deaths, despite there being how many... Despite there being like 1,500 American traffic deaths since the last podcast, we don't have any news to share, articles to share, just because that was too much effort. But pour one out.
There was a, somebody drove
that,
their sedan
for the better part of a 9/11.
Yep. I know at least three people were killed while I was in Los Angeles at Westwood grocery store. Somebody drove their sedan into a grocery store and killed at least three people. So that's at least one of them. And you know, sizable little incident there. I was curious, and I think we've talked about this before, but how are those deaths counted? Pedestrian. Because those are, you know, I mean, strictly speaking, I know they're pedestrians, but strictly speaking, it's not a roadway death. It's a grocery it store counts. Death.
They're on there. They're definitely on there. Because it's like if you're operating a Excellent. Vehicle on a public roadway and then you go off the public roadway and you strike a grocery store and a handful, more than a handful of people in this instance, yeah, it's on there. You don't want to get hit by a car. Not a lot of people understand this.
I think everybody understands
you
that.
You definitely don't want to get hit by a car. It's better to hit someone with your car than it is to be hit by a car, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, this does not constitute legal advice.
No, no, but I mean, it's very practical advice. If you have to choose...
Yeah, for life and limb and pursuit of happiness.
If someone says to you, hit this person with your car or else I'm going to hit you with my car, you better do it.
This podcast does not constitute legal or moral advice.
Oh, man. The feds in my brain are going crazy today.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been pretty down. I was in Los Angeles last week, and then I got sick. And so a couple of my friends canceled on me because they were getting sick. And then there were several people at my client that were like, yeah, well, everybody's getting sick. There's something going around LA. And I was like, oh, I was being extra careful, wore a mask. And I still got sick. So I had to cancel on my plans. So I basically like spent the week in a hotel room, kind of going back and forth between my client and my hotel. It was pretty bleak. I got to see some of like the worst urban form in the United States, in, you know, like south suburbs of Los Angeles, you know, down kind of south of Inglewood, like beneath the airport. Driving past the massive oil refinery at El Segundo. Like the corner of Rosecrans and Sepulveda is one of the least human places in the world.
Should we pull it up?
Pull it up. Let's see it on the map. Let's see it on the death map. You can also pull this up, listener, if you're hoping to follow along at home. You can pull this up at roadway.report to see the fatality data. And then we also have California up, so you can go to roadway.report/California for the injury data. I wouldn't be surprised if this intersection has several deaths, but maybe not the most. It's just so big. It's such a conversion. Every time I approached it in a vehicle, it was... like at a standstill in terms of traffic. So I'm sure like a lot of the deaths are at night when the, you know, streets aren't clogged with cars.
First things first, Sepulveda, I hardly know her. And now I've got her
Sepulveda,
up.
She's my sister.
Look, I love a good oil refinery, especially in an urban environment.
As close to the pores as possible.
It's just a shame. It's just a shame we couldn't put more poor people closer to it.
In this one particularly, because right beneath El Segundo, right beneath the oil refinery that's there, is Manhattan Beach, which is like very high rent district. There's a lot of rich people that live right next to this. They don't live downwind of it.
Bro,
but
this intersection makes Texas look gay. Like, this is so fucking dangerous. It's insane that California is worse for this than we are.
Looking at the death map, like Manhattan Beach is a walkable paradise. I felt this way when I have been staying there. It is like a weird rich person's dream of a place to hang out. You can't buy cigarettes there. They banned cigarettes. And it's truly like a walkable urban paradise if you didn't have to leave the city of Manhattan Beach.
But like, why is there an oil refinery right there?
Well, we have to extract wealth from South America somehow.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. Looks looks pretty nice. I like oil. Me and oil get along.
Ooh, and it just smells so good when you're driving by it and you see the wind. So what's funny is right on the other side of Sepulveda from the oil refinery is a Topgolf. I love that the people who patronize such a terrible use of urban space have to breathe in those fumes. I guess maybe that's my penchant for sadism. I'm grateful that they are having to inhale the stinky butt fumes of the oil refinery while they get drunk and play pretend golf. They're not even playing real golf.
They're playing top golf.
Top golf.
No, I mean, it's better than mini golf.
Is it? Mini golf, at least there's like cute little figurines, and it's a much better use of urban space.
You know, for something called a driving range, I'm glad that it involves very little driving.
That's a good call. The parking lot would beg to differ.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely got a mall kind of parking lot. Nobody bikes to Topgolf. I can guarantee that.
No.
Like, I bet.
Yeah, golf courses.
Of all the things that people bike versus drive to, no, I don't think anybody's going to bike to a Topgolf.
No, certainly not. I mean, Topgolf, I guess, would be more logical to bike to. I haven't ever been to a Topgolf. I've golfed a bit in my life. But I've never been to a Topgolf. Do you? You don't bring your own clubs to a Topgolf,
do you? No,
you
just show up. It's just sort of like mini golf.
Right. So in that way, like I've golfed a few times in the last like decade, and I, you know, always have to either take a car or one time I rode the bus with my golf clubs, which was a little funny. I felt like a silly Billy. But you know, if you're
too poor
can't
to drive. Too rich, too rich.
Too
to
poor
not
to
golf.
Drive. Yeah. Too uppity to not golf. But like you could bike to Topgolf because you don't have to like carry your clubs, but like it's already so dangerous to bike to most golf courses in the United States, like given the urban form and the lack of biking infrastructure and the total submission and drooling for cars. But like Topgolf you could bike to, like, safer, because you would have full autonomy on your bike. Like, biking with a set of golf clubs on your back is tough. That's pretty heavy. It's kind of cumbersome. Like, you could lose your balance easily. I guess I'm just a pussy, but... Are we here at the Are You Into Bus Stuff podcast squarely anti-golf? I think that's a good question. Or do we just...
No, I mean, fuck
like,
it, dude.
Like, golf courses...
Whatever gets you out of the house. I don't know why golf is, like, a richy activity. I don't know. In my opinion, it looks kind of dumb, but who cares, man? Whatever gets you off.
Gooners only, ladies forbidden?
Yeah? Is that what golf is?
Well, it's gentlemen only, ladies forbidden, yeah.
Gooners only?
Losers forbidden? Or
I'm starting in only goons.
A goonly fans?
Gooners will be free.
They're going to take back the streets.
Oh, the gooners.
Those sweet, sweet
will
gooners.
Will be free.
They're going to be so
We're
free.
We're going to take back the streets.
One street at a
take
time.
Take back the streets.
One block
oh,
at a time.
Gooners. Rise up. And be
oh, you know it's risen.
Free, let freedom ring, gooners. Let
freedom ring, and not just on your cock.
Man, no, I got nothing this week, man.
You get a cock ring. Let freedom cock ring.
I'm really sad about all the traffic deaths that have happened lately. I mean that the. The building one is pretty interesting. A lot of pedestrian deaths are in buildings. What I think an interesting statistic that Mothers Against Drunk Driving won't tell you is 100% of liquor stores have been hit by a car. I can't since that fact is like buried deep in there, but I mean I don't even know if it's true, but 100% of liquor stores have been hit by a car. It's remarkable.
It's true. I think it's like 97% of marijuana dispensaries in Colorado have been hit by
like,
a car.
Is that a smash and grab kind of thing?
No, that's just, you know, like a sleep at the wheel kind of thing. Not any sort of, you know, damage to the dispensary, just just a, you know, a stony baloney kind of bumping in.
No, I'm talking about catastrophic, through the wall kind of shit. I'm trying to remember what percent of pedestrian deaths are like people in buildings. I think it's like 2 or 3%.
That's really high given how many there are total.
Yeah, which is as if it's 7,000 people. Yeah, that's like, it's like 80 people a year.
So once again, listener, the constant refrain of this broadcast is that you are never safe. The government is out to get you, no matter where you are, whether you're in a Schnucks or a Ralph's or a Walmart, you can still get got.
Trains don't kill people. Trains don't kill people. Bikes don't kill people. Scooters don't kill people. Walkers don't kill people.
Pogo sticks don't kill people.
Only cars kill people. Cars, guns.
Those little heart funky one-wheel things don't kill people.
Those will kill your love life. Yeah, one wheel. I don't know, man. The micromobility revolution is cool and all, but one wheel. What is it with bikes to where they just attract the most insufferable fucking people? Can we be real for a second? What's with these clowns wearing tights? What's the deal? I don't know, man. I
think that they have to be fast. I think it's a need for speed.
They're not fast.
But they're slick.
No, they're wearing tights. They look... Can I say it? No, I mean, I'll just bleep it out.
Yeah, but they look gay. That's what you're going to say.
They'll end...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, how much faster can you go if you don't have your, like, flannel flapping in the breeze? What is the point?
Why do they wear helmets? What's with helmets?
I mean, I get wearing a helmet if they're trying to, like, send it as fast as they can. Like, I definitely recommend wearing a helmet to anybody that's trying to send their bike as fast as they possibly can. Like, that just makes sense.
Yes. I don't recommend wearing tights.
No.
Ever. Unless you are a ballerina.
Or like an OnlyFans model, I guess. And it's
Only Goons.
I don't totally follow the development of cycling as a sport. I think that a lot of people want to be sports people. You know, they wanna really be considered athletic and they want to be seen as having some sports prowess. And I think that's part of like going all in on wearing the Lycra. But it doesn't totally, and I guess there's like a disconnect for me, because for me, my bicycle is by and large how I get around the city. And for me, it is a utilitarian item and an item of revolution, in more ways than one, pun intended. But it's a tool that I use to get around the city. It's practical. And it's interesting to me that folks who wear Lycra and ride around the city are using the city for recreation. And you'd think that that would be like a direct line to radicalization. But these folks are often like kind of on the other side of the spectrum. And I just don't get it.
I think it's because it's like a class thing. It's you experience the city out of necessity, right? Like, oh, I have to get to work. I have to bike through. I have to do this every day if I want to make a living. And I think like the guys who wear tights, it's like they drive a Jeep to work and they have a different experience of, you know, they're out there to have a good time.
Yeah, they drive an $80,000 car to work and they ride a $10,000 bike in an outfit. I mean, what do the outfits cost, do you think? I don't even know, but like they must be hundreds of dollars. And so it's like it's a status thing. But you'd think that it would radicalize, and I'm sure that it does, some of them, when they're trying to like do their favorite recreation activity in their city and they can't, or they get hurt, they get hit by a car, they run into lack of infrastructure, etc. But they definitely aren't generally members of the Gunnar army. I guess write us, Gunnar army, if you are one of these Lycra fellows or ladies.
Look, you're allowed to wear whatever you want. You can look. It's okay to be gay. Trust me.
I would go so far to say it's okay to be.
It's encouraged in this neck of the woods.
Yeah.
We're bringing it back. Oh, Gunners.
I think with the relative highbrow content that we put out in our last episode, listener, you've just been gunning for some like brain rot discourse.
Yeah,
so
real,
I hope that you're real. I hope that you're really enjoying this.
Waiter, please, waiter.
Waiter, come over here.
Waiter, I require assistance.
Oh, yes. Sorry, sir, ma'am. What is it that you need?
I would like ranch dressing.
Oh, you haven't placed your order yet. Is there anything else I can bring you, or you just want the ranch?
Bring my wife the ranch.
Just the ranch, waiter.
Very well. I can bring you that presently.
Very good.
Alrighty, here.
Could I get a water?
What was that?
Could I get a water?
Yes. Do you want still or sparkling?
I said a water, not a seltzer, waiter.
Excellent. I'll bring you a still water. Ice? Do you want ice?
No ice. Lemons.
Excellent. I'll bring you some lemons, some ranch dressing, and some water. Anything for you, sir?
Just what my wife needs.
You're sure you don't want a beer or a glass of red wine?
I'll have a vermouth.
A vermouth? Sweet, dry, or perfect?
Half and half.
Very good, sir. Right away, sir. Waiter.
Yes,
waiter.
What is it? Yes, go ahead.
Is this all the ranch you have?
Well, we have more, but I figured that large ramekin would suffice.
Well, I'm all out. And for the folks at home, she's dumping the whole thing into her water, her iceless water with lemons, and stirring it around with a straw. Waiter, do you have any more?
I do.
I can't taste it.
Okay. Well, I'm working on the gentleman's half and half vermouth, but when I return, I'll bring you another ramekin of the ranch dressing. Do you think one more of that size would work, or would you like two?
I would like one more. Would like a lot of things, waiter.
Alrighty, here you go. Here's that extra ranch, the half and half vermouth for the gentleman, and compliments of the chef. I brought some gluten-free gumbo for little Rufus here.
Thank you. You know me so well, waiter.
This gumbo's delicious.
This bit is neither funny nor comprehensible.
This bit is so fucking good. This bit is all we have.
It really is.
Waiter. Oh, God. It's Super Bowl Sunday, man. The Seahawks are going to pound the Patsies. That's all I got.
Here's hoping.
Win. Russell Wilson comes back onto the field and leads the Seahawks to a Super Bowl, and they give the ball back to Marshawn Lynch.
They should definitely actually run the ball with Beast Mode this time.
I feel like if they put him in the game right now, they would still win a Super Bowl if he had to come in like 12th man style.
Yeah, he's definitely that kind of guy. He's just got it. He's got the yams. Are you able to tell us, Mr. Data Wizard, how many traffic deaths there have been? I guess it's hard to isolate Super Bowl Sunday because it's not a consistent date like Christmas Day or 9/11.
Yeah.
But I feel like we owe it to the listener to provide a count of some sort of traffic deaths on Super Bowl Sunday. The first Sunday of February, maybe?
Okay, yeah. I mean, from what I understand, these days are sort of like... It's also, in a sense, the Super Bowl of drunk driving.
It's true. I mean, I have hope. I'm hoping against all odds that for some reason, because folks are already in their locations, they pass out drunk at their Super Bowl parties, that the deaths are not greater on this day because there's so much other violence that is prominent on this day. I mean, like all the air travel, the unnecessary like private jet travel, burning unnecessary resources. It's like the biggest day for human trafficking and forced sex work. So it's definitely a day of violence. Any day where the Empire celebrates itself, I feel like is definitely going to be a dark day in a lot of ways. So I'm hoping that we have some data to show that because fewer folks are on the road or something, that there's some sort of repose on our streets.
All right, I can check a couple. Give me a sec.
I left my wallet in El Segundo. I left my wallet in El Segundo. The whole time I'm in El Segundo, I'm always sort of singing that to myself in my head, which is great because it means that I never forget my wallet. Okay, so looking a little bit further into this crash that happened, this crash into the grocery store that happened, it was in Westwood in LA, and two of the victims have been identified. Three people died. Six people were injured. It was a 99 Ranch Market in Los Angeles. It happened shortly after noon at the grocery store in the 1300 block of Westwood Boulevard in the Westwood neighborhood, which, to my understanding, is a pretty nice area. Investigators say that the crash happened when the 92-year-old driver of a sedan crashed through the windows of the store after hitting a bicyclist and losing control of the vehicle.
Fucking cyclist.
So if this cyclist hadn't been distracting this lovely, nice old woman who definitely has a right and a privilege and a decree by the life that she's lived to operate a piece of heavy machinery, nobody would have had to die. So thanks, cyclists.
Okay, here we go. I'm looking it up.
Oh, man. Two of the people who died in this crash were employees.
Well, at least they died doing what they loved.
Yeah, stocking the shelves of the grocery store. Of one of the victims, somebody shared, "It was always like he was sunshine. I still can't believe that he's gone." Maybe if he was sunshine, he would have been bright enough and the lady would have seen him. Los Angeles Police Department detectives say that the driver doesn't face charges for the crash, as they believe the incident was an accident. And I'm not saying that we should lock up this 92-year-old woman, but I'm just highlighting the way that we treat traffic fatalities as opposed to other sorts of violent incidents that occur in our world, where we just have this base assumption that... three people dead, families torn apart, six people terribly injured in critical condition. No one's really responsible for this.
Well, who is responsible? Joe Engineer? Sally elderly driver? It's not the cyclist.
It's definitely the cyclist's fault. But, I mean, it's difficult to attribute blame. And I don't think that attributing blame is on... the level of individual incidents is necessarily like the most effective strategy to right the wrongs of the world that we've built. But I do think that there should be some, we shouldn't just accept this as a collateral to the convenience of rich people getting around the city.
Okay. It looks about average. It looks like in 2023, there were 84 deaths on the day, and then there were like 107 the year before. It looks about average. It doesn't look like there's twice as many or anything.
Okay, well, I mean, America, the economy in the United States of America is built on drunk driving, so while the Super Bowl is definitely a highlight in that economy, everyone's drinking and driving every day.
I've always said legalize it. We need to make more money here. If we can get those numbers up, we can get a grant.
Exactly. Yeah, if we can keep that the dots showing up on the map, listener, we're gonna be in the money real quick.
I was looking at people who died during Super Bowl, and one was a 12-year-old boy on a bike. My son, my beautiful son.
Why wasn't he watching the game?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
not tested. The guy who hit him in his GMC pickup was not tested for alcohol.
I mean, why would they?
I don't know. It is the Super Bowl.
Cops were probably trying to get to the bar to get drunk and watch the game themselves. Said, you know, it's not your fault. It's not really anyone's fault that this kid is now dead. So, as you were.
What's fucked is we've effectively legalized killing a child with your car. It's like, no one ever gets in trouble. That's the craziest part of all this is just, it's, no one ever gets in trouble.
Yeah, and that's, you just, yeah.
Even if you leave, if you stay, then they're like, oh, they stayed. They must be a good person. And then you don't get in trouble. And then if you leave, you don't get caught. So you don't get in trouble. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I'm getting at with the 92-year-old lady and trying to attribute some responsibility for the incident. I mean, it's sort of the same question because this is the sort of incident where, you know, Los Angeles or California in the next 3 years, they may rally around this incident and around this tragedy and pass a law requiring slightly stricter testing for drivers over the age of 85 or something like that. Or, you know, in some cases, laws are passed to lower the legal alcohol limit lower the legal alcohol limit, raise the limit. But what's fundamental here?
Take it to the limit.
Take it to the limit. But what's fundamental here, and what is the common denominator, is the automobile and our worship of our perceived convenience of using automobiles to get around everywhere in our urban spaces. And that is what is responsible. It's our cultural worship, our cultural apathy towards a system that is clearly dangerous. We've reviewed on the podcast that it is a system that is built on what were effectively the Jim Crow laws of the 20th century and continue to kill more and more people all the time, and we just accept it as collateral to this perceived convenience and this desire for things to go on as normal. And it's pathetic.
I will say, we haven't seen a diminishment in everyone's all rock hard about self-driving cars and how, well, once everyone's in a self-driving car, you know, traffic deaths will just disappear. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah, checking my watch.
I look forward to that happening, but it realistically looks like that could be 20, 40, 60 years away.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder when we'll have any substantial data to try to, answer that question, whether that's actually happening. Because, I mean, Waymos have been on the street in San Francisco for, what, 2 or 3 years? Not even that long?
Yep. Poor one out for that bodega cat that got hit by a Waymo.
Yeah. Yeah,
we celebrate the dead. We honor the dead, all killed by cars, whether they are cats, dogs,
gays,
people. Legalize it, dude.
Yeah.
Legalize the R word.
Oh, hey, maybe don't Siri, publish this. I don't know.
Siri, why can't I say it? Siri, hey Siri, why can't I say it anymore?
Siri, why can't I say it? And don't you dare email my wife that I'm asking.
I was having so much fun saying it, Siri. I never put down anybody with an intellectual disability. Can I say it?
There was a little bit of controversy because I saw that the Waymo Corporation is using foreign labor to do the troubleshooting when a car doesn't know what to do.
No, I mean, I knew from the start that it's the only way they could deploy it.
Yeah.
Right? There had to be some kind of manual override powered by a third world country.
Labor exploitation.
Exactly.
If there's money being made, especially as it relates to automobiles, by a corporation in the United States, there is always the power play of labor against somebody in the global south.
No, I mean, think of drones. It's like, what if the future of self-driving cars, at least for the next 30 years is actually just people in developing nations drone, like driving your car like it's a American drone bomber. I think that would be pretty chill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like it's a kind of video game style. Deliver as many, like, you can get one sandwich if you, you know, complete 600 rides in a day.
Yeah. It's like you have to pay to, you have to rent the desk. And you have to, you only get paid if you do so many in a row. You only get paid if you work 11 hours straight.
Yeah. Latifundista style, like, renting a corpse size plot of land but for a white collar job. I love it. This is a right wing podcast, and we believe in freedom, and we believe in cheeseburgers,
gun violence,
gender inequality, or I should say sexed roles. No gender,
just sex.
No thanks, just sex, thank you.
What are your pronouns? Oh, I'm not pronouns, I'm against them. Oh, shit. Nah, I don't know, man. I welcome all this Hitler shit. All this, police state, blah, 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 you know? Fuck it. I feel alive.
That's your take?
They'll have to Holocaust me if they want me to shut up. You hear that, Hitler? You're gonna need to work a little harder if you want to stop this podcast. First, they came for the podcasters. Then they came for the alt-goon movement. But I didn't speak up because I was not a part of the alt-goon movement. And then they came for our big booty Latinas.
And I did not speak up because I was not a big booty Latina.
Yeah, man. ICE needs to work on their PR. Everybody likes Latinos. Like, come on. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I think a lot of people have a lot of propagandized hate towards our Latin brothers and sisters.
If I were running a restaurant, you could not pay me to hire a white line cook. Latino all day, every day. Based on race alone.
I worked with a lot of really science. Really good black line cooks in St. Louis.
My money is still on Latino. Based on race science alone.
Oh. I don't think any of this is good. I don't think any of this is good today.
This is our best episode.
This is our worst episode.
Ching chong. I
what did you say?
It's cheap. It's cheap. It's easy. It works. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Okay, I'm stepping away for a second because I have to blow my nose.
He's stepping away because I got to blow my brains out. Basically. No, I think that it's okay to joke about race and race science just because we've fixed it. We fixed America. So it's okay now. It's okay now. White people are allowed to be racist again.
Again, like, that's your take? I don't...
No. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. We're back. Shane Gillis, you know? Joe Rogan.
Satire alert. Satire alert.
Joe Rogan.
Is it good for satire if you have to, like, tell people that it's satire? Like, I can't remember. I feel like that is a hallmark of good satire.
Well, you don't have to. I probably shouldn't call things as gay as often as I do.
What does it do for you?
I don't know. I want to live in a world where people with disabilities have a greater degree of freedom and independent mobility than they currently possess. I think there's a lot of the built environment which is limiting for people, classes of disabilities, right? And I just think that I would love to see us focus our efforts on building a more inclusive environment, despite loving to say the word.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I don't know, I've been reflecting a lot on our beat in context of the history of the United States and its relationship with Latin America and the abject poverty that the colonial scheme wrought on and continues to wreak on many parts of the world, and how, like, being a poor person in the United States is better than being a laborer in most of the world. And I just don't know what to make of it. I'm not coming up with any good thoughts or any means of reconciling with it other than, like, guilt and sadness. I don't know. I got very little. I have very little this week. I have just felt sort of angry and depressed because while I want to work to make, I want to take back the streets and I want to make them safer, I also want to, I want people to be liberated all over the world. And, like, those two things go hand in hand, and the automobile and the oil lobby and the oil cartel, I'll call it, like, is one of the most powerful pieces of our world over the last 100, 150 years. And it's directly intersectional with our beat, but I don't know how to advocate for the right things right now to, like, properly resist that as opposed to just playing into its hand in some way. It's hard to not, like, go total anarchy, like, fuck everything type behavior. That's where I've been at.
I don't know. What is a rational position? Is kind of what it comes back to for me when it feels like I am completely fucked in the head, right? When it feels like I hold opinions that are too far outside the realm of acceptable. Because as humans, I think we, you know, we evolved to need the approval of the group. And so I think we conform as a default. And I just, I don't know. I just try to live, speak my truth, man. I just try to speak my truth because it's true to me.
Yeah. And I've always admired your ability to do that. Although sometimes it's frustrated me, I do admire it, I think. And yeah, like, how do we make things better? And I always say that it starts in our own community. It starts on your own street. The first street to take back is the street in front of your house, the street in front of your apartment, the street in front of that you are walking down right now. But how do you do that when the street that you're on only exists because the street on the other side of the world has never been paved and has never been delivered with the, you know, shining promise of development that is necessary to, like, raise a standard of living. We also, there's just so many more people now than there were 200 years ago. Like, I've just been finding it really hard to reconcile and wrap my head around. Like, the conversation has fundamentally changed given our ability to stay alive as long as we stay alive and to sustain life and avoid death as well as we do. And of course, there's things like automobile accidents and violent infrastructure that still kill less privileged people at a higher rate than more privileged people. But overall, especially in the United States, like, the tide has raised all ships. Like, the rising tide has raised all ships. The life expectancy of every group has increased. I mean, especially as you look at it over 200 years ago, which in the scheme of humanity is not a very long period of time.
Yeah, you're right. Poor people don't have it that bad. And they should shut up.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, obviously.
No, I mean, it's tough. It's tough to reconcile. But we people always love to point to improvements in quality of life born of the Industrial Revolution as sort of like evidence that our system of hoarding and the private accumulation of vast quantities of wealth is like a just and functioning way to organize a society. But really, we just have had a rapid advancement in technology.
Right.
And it wasn't... It's just independent of our economic structures.
In fact, it like runs counter to it. Like, our economic structures exist to ensure that those technological advances don't get applied in certain parts of the world. It's cheaper to pay... It's cheaper to keep a person in basically abject poverty and what amounts to slavery than it is to like give them a tractor, because then you have to provide gas for that tractor, and it is easier, and it benefits the extractive side of the capitalistic equation to keep the means of production and the people involved in that in a state of desperation, even though giving them the technology and allowing the technology to proliferate would generate more wealth for the whole world as a whole. It's much easier to control the means of production and focus on ensuring that the majority of wealth stays in the hands of very few, as opposed to allowing technology to proliferate and improve the world for everybody. And I think trying to apply that thought to our beat, like improving safety technology on automobiles is one choice to combat the roadway fatality crisis that we have, the roadway violence crisis that we have. But it's not an actual means of combating it, right? It's disingenuous. Whereas if we did allow the world to embrace technologies that are more efficient and that are safer, we would see a world where there'd be a balancing out of at least the structures of violence, right? If there weren't automobiles, that would take one piece of the equation out that kill people of color and poor people at disproportionate rates. If we just removed cars from the equation. But it's not in the interest of those that are hoarding the wealth, because it's easier to continue to enforce the structures that segregate the world and split us into different classes. And until all of the workers of the world unite, I just don't know how we can make things any better.
Take back the streets.
Basically.
Gooners, won't you take back the streets? Oh, gooners. Gooners, won't you? Now, I don't even feel a song in me.
Yeah,
I think we should just call it quits. I'm tired.
Yeah, we could call it quits. I mean, my big takeaway from the like word vomit that I just did that I want to summarize is that cars are an inferior technology to bicycles. Cars are an inferior technology to trains. Cars are an inferior technology to shoes. And the worship of an inferior technology to keep the people down is a crime. And it's really sad. And one day we will all hold hands in the street and we will take back the streets and the whole world will rejoice.
Now, amen. It's true. It's like life will be better with trains. We're not losing anything when we have bike lanes and shit. We just have a world to regain. All right, gooners, we're gonna rest. We're not feeling well. But we love you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for tuning in to another installment of Are You Into Bus Stuff, the only comedy podcast about dying in traffic. I hope you don't die in traffic this week. Please be safe out there. Look both ways. Hug your loved ones. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, don't be a gay and die in traffic.
Ta-ta for now.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.